Cutting your losses, knowing when to push through, when to be creative, when to make a lateral move,
and knowing when to pull the plug. We found this cute little spot in Old City, Philadelphia. We started the process, but there's problems. We found out that we were expecting. We were at this crossroads of like, do we keep doing this thing?
If I do this, what is the impact gonna be in my life? What are gonna be the impacts of not doing it?
It was the best move for us to walk away from the project.
You can do whatever you wanna do. Sometimes you just can't do it right now. Welcome to the Seven Figure Salon Podcast with Rachel and Drew. I'm Drew.
I'm Rachel.
Welcome to the show. Like, what we want to talk about on this episode is cutting your losses, like knowing when to push through, knowing when to be creative, knowing when to make a lateral move.
And knowing when to pull the plug.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's tough.
So we're going to give you like a personal example, or not really an example, a personal story about this, about pulling the plug on something that you planned on doing, said you were going to do. Hell, maybe you even started doing it and then you ended up having to pull the plug on it. So a couple years ago, we were going to open a salon in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And you might be like, why the heck would you open a salon in Pennsylvania? I had lots of clients. I used to work out there as a guest artist. One of our friends, Paul, he owns a salon there still to this day. It's called Salon Oco. It's a great little spot.
Shout out to Paul.
But anyways, we decided, you know, and all the years that I was traveling out there to work, like every 6 to 8 weeks I was going out there, I would do extensions. And I started hosting classes out there. I started teaching other stylists, you know, in the area about extensions and how to do them. And it was wild because I used to think that like, oh, everything, like the closer you are to New York City, like the closer you are to where things are happening. And I can tell you, there really was like, I actually felt like it was the opposite. They're very behind the times up there, to be honest. And so for years, like nobody still was not, like there was no salon known for extensions. And which was great for me because I could go out there and I could make 5 to 10 grand a weekend doing extensions and doing hair. And then I could just come home. So it was a great like little side hustle for me at the time. And fast forward a few years to 2021, end of 2021, you know, Drew and I, you know, friends with Paul, we're like, hey, we should open a beauty lounge out here. Like, I just can't even believe like to this day that there's no salon that's like crushing it in extensions out here. And so we found this cute little spot in Old City, Philadelphia, and it was a cute little spot. And I think it was only around like $3,500 a month for rent, which was like cheap compared to like what we pay over here. Mm-hmm. And it was a low risk thing. And I was like, yeah, like let's explore this. Let's figure out if this could actually be successful here. And so we started that process. Obviously got a lease in place, you know, got the architect hired, started the design process, started air the quotes, build out process.
Architect.
Yeah, air quotes. Guy's a freaking
another story.
Train wreck. So make sure that you actually verify your architect license. We ended up with one that wasn't actually an architect, but yet says he was.
Common thing too.
Very common, apparently.
Like, this is like a thing out there.
Yeah. So anyways, we started the process. We're starting everything. Fast forward, you know, really there's problems, like duh, like we anticipated problems, but there was like a lot of problems. So the zoning and stuff like that is super, super weird up there. And there's like all of these different like boards of advisors, or you have it was a condo association, even though it wasn't a condo that we're leasing. And it's just all these like weird rules. We also had a landlord that was, like, you know, when I'm coming to town for like a very, very brief period of time, I need to be able to get into the space. I need to be able to walk up to the space that I'm leasing, turn a key and open the door. And I couldn't do that. There was a code and the code didn't work. And it was like all these like various problems. And we actually had a couple contractors walk off the job because they couldn't gain access to the space. And there's only so much I can do from Texas with my cell phone. And so thankfully, Paul, you know, lives there in Philadelphia, and he was our boots on the ground, like, you know, meeting contractors, you know, going to pick up orders from Home Depot. Like, he was doing all the stuff. And then I was doing more of the computer, like operational, you know, like business stuff. And anyways, it was just one problem after problem after problem after problem. And for that reason, you know, we were extremely delayed. I mean, like 4 to 5 months delayed at that point. And mask mandates got put back on in the city. I mean, it was just like this damn thing is like not going the way that we wanted it to go. And also there was a Paul experienced a really hard personal thing happened in his life. His very best friend, who was like his brother, passed away. And that was like obviously like very difficult for him to navigate too. Yeah. And then I think it was what, a month later, we found out that we were expecting Hendrix. And so I was like, gosh, this is great. Like, we are so excited we're having this baby. But now I feel stupid because I wouldn't have signed this lease over here, and I wouldn't be opening a salon in a completely different state that we don't live in, mm-hmm. if we were going to have another child. And I mean, mind you, our youngest is 7. So it's like, this was kind of like, oops. And, so we were at this crossroads of like, do we keep doing this thing or do we pull the plug? Right. And we ultimately decided on, it was the best move for us to walk away from the project. Yeah. We were going to lose money. Yeah. We were going to lose all of our build out, our deposit, all of the stuff, and have to break the lease. But we ended up doing it because the way that we thought about it was like, okay, before we hire a full team, before we, like, I didn't want to let anybody down. And I also didn't want to announce or even like discuss the idea that I literally was opening something and then I was like, oh, never mind, no, I'm not. Like, that's not really my style. We always, when we say we're going to create something or we're going to do something, like, we freaking do it. And so there was this big ego thing that I was grappling with of like, I felt like I was going to be embarrassed if I actually like made an announcement or like when people would see me in the salon be like, oh my gosh, like, how's the Philly salon coming along? Like, you know, and I had to sit there and deal with all that and obviously break the news. Like, we're actually not going to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. The good news is that, yeah, like, obviously, yeah, we lost money and all that. The good news is I was actually able to enjoy Hendrix being a little baby. And I was able to breastfeed him for over a year, be able to not have to be on a plane every month, like, dealing with all that. And I was also, when I look at the cup, you know, half full, I'm grateful that I didn't hire a bunch of stylists and train them and get their hopes up and then have to pull the plug then. And I wouldn't have pulled the plug had I already had employees and stuff. Like, I would never have done that. But what would have happened is I would have likely stressed out our family and I would have missed time with our son. And anyway, so, you know, there, that's a personal story for you because, yeah, that was hard. I had to deal with the idea of embarrassment or this or that. And what's interesting is, although I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm going to feel so embarrassed, or oh my gosh, I'm going to look like a failure, I'm going to look like whatever, insert word here, like, nobody thought that. Nobody thought that at all. They were like, oh my gosh, I completely understand. Or like, that's so great that you were able to, like, you know, just get rid of that and not have it, you know, not have to disappoint anybody, or like, people will understand. Like, everyone was like really supportive and really cool about it. And ultimately I had to just make a decision that was the best decision for us and our family. And it obviously was the best decision for Paul and his personal life and everything at the same time too, because it gave him that time he needed to grieve and not have to sit here and worry about a third salon for himself. So, mm-hmm. But you know, I know it's not always that easy, and there's a couple of other like stories that we want to kind of share here about like this is something that people deal with all the time, you know. And I know when you want something so bad, you're literally willing to do almost anything for it, and you're also part of that is you are willing to ignore big fat red flags, because like, there's a couple of people I can think of right now that are literally ignoring some big fat red flags. And I'm like, girl, that is not, like, it's not working out. It's not panning out. Like, it shouldn't even be an option. But yet, you're still pursuing this thing that like it's not going to happen, you know. Mm-hmm. There's somebody that I can think of that I've been trying to guide her through this. So, oh my gosh, I've been trying to guide her through this like all year. And you know, she's been getting denied for loans, getting denied for SBA, denied for line of credits, denied for credit cards and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you cannot sign, like, I would highly, highly recommend not signing this lease. Like, I know you want the lease. I know you think you can do it. I know you see yourself there. I know you see your business operating, like you're way invested in it. However, you don't have the money to invest to make it happen. And because you don't have like your ducks in a row, there's not anyone that's willing to invest to make it happen for you. So I think that sometime like the timing, if you're pushing it and you're like trying to force something to happen, you're like literally like with both hands, just pushing with all your might to make something happen. And it's just like not moving. That could be a sign that like there's something off, you know, or it's not the right time. Now, if you are pushing something and it's moving slowly, right? And maybe there's other people that are down to push with you because you don't have enough strength to push it yourself. That's a little bit different. But like, I just see a lot of people that sit here and sign leases that they cannot afford, can't afford it, can't afford the build out, doesn't even have a $5,000 in the bank account, but yet wants to go sign some bigger lease. And I just think that's a really, really poor decision. And I think it's going to put you in a really, really bad spot. And I would highly recommend making sure that you've got several months of expenses under your belt and that you actually overestimate for how much that project's going to cost you. And also, I also want to make sure that you guys know, a TI allowance, which is a tenant improvement allowance, is not like, oh, hey, here's this money to build out the space. That's not what that looks like. You have to fund in the entire project. And then only after you get lien releases and you submit receipts that you've paid everything off, do you then get to submit for TI allowance as a reimbursement. It's a reimbursement. And I know that it can get people all excited like, oh, it's an allowance. Just like, you know, when you're a kid and you're doing chores and your parents give you an allowance, you got to earn it. You got to do the dishes first. Then you get your allowance. It's not the other way around. And a lot of people end up signing leases and then they end up realizing, oh, crap, this is actually reimbursed after the fact. So then you don't have all this money accessible to complete your own projects. So I see that a lot, too.
Yeah. There's a couple things that you can do, like how you can kind of break this down to make sure that you're making the right choice is look at just that. Look at your choice. Look at, if I do this, what is the impact going to be in my life? What are the problems that are going to arise from making this choice? Like T-chart this out, write out the problems, write out the impact on you. Look up, down, left, sideways, back, forward. Write everything out that you're going to see that you're going to come across or not come across by making this choice. Say you're going to go for it. Okay. Like if you got $5,000 in the bank account, you're going to go sign a $15,000 lease, but you only have the clientele that's bringing in $8,000 a month. Like really look at that, write it all out, be honest with yourself. And if you don't make this move, write down what are going to be the implications, or the impacts of not doing it. And if not, a lot of this will be based in feeling over here. If once you put your head on the chopping block, you are responsible. And if you roll things back, you are going to be responsible. You're going to have to deal with these types of things legally, physically, emotionally as well. So if you like list out your choices and you list out the impacts of each choice and you really go there and you really have the foresight to forecast what you're going to be dealing with on both sides, you'll have a very clear path of what makes more sense to you and what you can do now. Now, if the option is to hit pause because you're going to need to align A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3, that's okay. You can do whatever you want to do. Sometimes you just can't do it right now. And right now is fine. Tomorrow is always tomorrow. Like it's going to be 2 years are going to go by, 30 days are going to go by like that. Right. So don't be devastated if you can't do something right now on a particular thing and you need to align some other moves, right? That'll give you what you need to do. If you can't get into a lease right now, it's going to be because of 1, 2, 3. List out those 1, 2, 3s and then start doing those things. And that's going to move you closer to what it is that you're looking to do. Super important to be able to do that. And a lot of times, like, you're going to have to lay out what it is your plan. Sorry, there's people at the door always distracting me. In your first business endeavors, say you're purchasing real estate or you're going to go in on something or you don't have the funds to do it, you're going to have to bring someone in. And that is okay. If you don't have the money, if you don't have the width, if you don't have the power to push, to do, to acquire these things on your own, you're going to have to bring someone in. Rather it is to borrow money and pay them back with interest, rather it is to get a loan, you're bringing the bank in. You're like, you're bringing someone in.
You're going to be paying for money, no matter what, mm-hmm. whether it's from a bank, it's a credit card, it's an investor, it's a whatever. Unless there's some, unless you have a much lower priced thing that you're trying to pursue, or potentially you could get a zero interest credit card for a certain amount of time, you're going to have to incur interest like that. And if you don't have the money, you're gonna have to pay to get the money, and that's normal.
Normal everywhere.
Super normal. You just want to try to get money for the lowest rate possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We've gotten good loans. We've gotten bad loans. We've clawed our way out of some really high interest rates. And it was mm-hmm. very, very, very difficult to do.
Yeah.
You can do it, but we would suggest not doing it because the time it takes to pay back something with high interest, it would actually take less time to do a little more due diligence and find a better path.
Yep.
Which is a lesson that we learned, because you see this path forward, like, I got to get this, I got to get the money, here's the solution, this will fix this problem, yet it blows a big hole in the bucket and you got this big leak in your bank account, so now you got to solve that.
Yeah.
And you're just busy trying to plug all the holes in the boat.
Yeah, you got to make sure that whenever you are, you got to be realistic, and that's like the most important word that, and I use that word a lot, like realistic. Be realistic with what you actually could afford. Because what you could afford is probably not what you can afford right now. Make sure that you run some hypotheticals of like, okay, if what would happen if like you couldn't do hair? Like, what would you do? You would be like, well, shit, like I don't have any other money. Like, I have no other income source. Like, that's a scary thing. I see a lot of people that take HELOCs out on their house, a home equity line of credit out on their house. Like, again, be careful with rates. Like, be careful with when you are going to put your home on the line. Like, that may be something that's too risky for you, and you need to be very, very clear about what that impact could be for you. Like, you've got to truly go through the pros and the cons, and you have to know, what is the worst thing that could happen? What is the worst thing that could happen in this if I did this, right? And like, walk through that, look at that, see what that looks like. And, there's a lot of people that just kind of prematurely jump into partnerships together, jump into a lease, with a landlord and not understanding the terms. And for the love of God, can you guys please get a freaking attorney look at your lease before you sign it? Please, no attorney is going to look at your lease and be like, yep, looks good, go ahead and sign it. No, there's going to be all kinds of shit that they want changed. Like, a lease negotiation truly takes probably between 4 and 6 weeks, if I'm really honest. Please make sure that you have an attorney look at your lease. I'm not an attorney, okay? I've signed a lot of leases. I definitely am very, very familiar with the legal process, and I've sued people. I'm familiar with contracts. But you still must have a lawyer look at your lease. And if you go sign a lease, unless you got some sort of two-page situation, most leases are going to be between 30 and 65 pages, maybe more. We have leases that are more.
I think a lot of people don't want to hire an attorney because it costs money. But if it's that tight,
it costs you so much more money if you don't hire an attorney in the long run. And you have no idea most times what you're actually agreeing to, because that lease is always going to be,
it's crazy.
It's always going to be, in the landlord's best interest. They drafted the lease. They're going to protect their interest. It's going to be
heavily,
definitely more one-sided. And you're likely going to have to personal guarantee some leases in your life. So make sure that if you are personally guaranteeing a lease, explain. That you understand what that means.
Yeah, I'm going to tell
and
them
a personal guarantee in a lease is usually its own separate page. It explains what it is, and you're signing it in your personal capacity. If you can sign a lease without a personal guarantee, great. Mm-hmm. Like, that's awesome, right? That's likely going to happen if you have like a smaller landlord situation, right? Like what we had at one of our other locations. Like, it was more of a mom and pop situation. There wasn't a personal guarantee. But in our larger leases, our strip center leases, you bet your butt there's a personal guarantee, and it's got its own page, and you have to sign in your own personal capacity. And make sure that your leases are under your LLC's name. Don't be signing a lease under your personal name. Not a good idea.
Yeah, if the real estate's owned by a larger company, you're going to see more of that. More of these hardcore 5-10 year leases. If it's owned by a private individual, you might maybe, see some of that, yeah. Maybe, but it'll be a little more lax. You can up, you know, like with my gyms, like I could go over and talk to him. You know, that was great. We can't do that in our larger leases. We're just kind of a number.
Right. Yeah, just, you know, there's so many things that, you know, we've learned over the years. And, you know, there wasn't ever anybody that's like, you know, that we could ask or go to or who had experience in any of this stuff, you know. And so it's important that you definitely need to seek counsel. Don't just rely on your mom or dad or, you know, your Uncle Frank or whatever. Like
Uncle Frank, the CPA.
the CPA from 20 years ago. Yeah. Like, your CPA is not going to give you advice on a freaking legal contract.
Or anything in the future.
Like, I wouldn't go over to the cupcake shop next door to our salon and ask them how to make a sandwich. Like, that they don't do that. They make cupcakes, right?
They're very busy.
Huh?
They're very busy.
They're real busy over there. Yeah.
There's like lines of people getting cupcakes for breakfast.
I know. I don't get it. But yeah, like, make sure that you're seeking advice from people that have already done what you're wanting to do and or are actually in that field. And a good attorney, like, let's say you already have an attorney. Let's say that you're going to them for advice on this. Like, let's say you have a family attorney. Your family attorney, if they're good, are going to say, well, I don't actually specialize in business proceedings, so I'm going to recommend that I refer you over here to this guy or this girl. And, like, that's a good attorney. Don't be trying to cut corners or freaking LegalZoom it or any of this other bullshit trying to save money. It's so important that lease is perfected and that you get exactly what you're supposed to get out of that lease. And you can negotiate anything that you want. Doesn't mean they're going to say yes, but you can ask for anything that you want. And every single thing is negotiable until your name's on the dotted line. So super important. And, you know, also, like, if you find yourself in a situation where you're like, okay, oh my gosh, I feel like Rachel and Drew see me. Like, I'm pushing hard and I'm trying to do this thing and nothing's lining out and nothing's happening the way that I want. And, like, none of the money stuff's lining up. And I just, it looks like a dead end road, but yet I'm so exhausted still pushing towards it because I want it so bad. Take a break for a minute and run through these pros and cons that we just laid out for you. Run through that process and really see, okay, is it the fact that I don't want to pull the plug on this? And truthfully, the plug, it may not even been plugged in to begin with.
Yes.
Do I really want to pull the plug on it? You know, and what am I afraid of? And most times it's going to be that you're afraid of what other people think. And that's really what got me to prolong my decision as long as I did.
I was worried
about what other people were going to think.
Or that they won't find a space that speaks to them, that they see themselves in and they love and they want to be in. They walk and they fall in love with the space.
Don't be blinded by love for your dream space. There's so many spaces.
There's thousands of amazing spaces.
There's all kinds of places and out there that you could
think people
open up shop.
You'll look at like seven of them and that eighth one is great and it's perfect and you're mm-hmm. like, this is it, but the terms are trash and you're like, it's okay, this is,
it's like Love It or List It, that one show I think is on TLC or whatever, you know, love it or list it. They go through the pros and cons. Well, this one's in a better location. This one, I don't have to commute. This one, you know, they're willing to give us money to redo it. Like, you have to go through the pros and cons. Mm-hmm. And also, the more that you show the landlord, like, that you're like, this is it. This is the one. I'm so excited. Yada, yada, yada. Guess what? They're going to stand firmer because they know that you're emotionally tied to it.
They got you.
And they can freaking get you for whatever. So don't show your cards. Be smart.
Control your emotions.
Control your emotions and run through your pros and cons. And I promise you guys, you're going to make much better decisions that are clearer, that are not wrapped in freaking, you know, thoughts and feelings and warm and fuzzies. Like, you're going to be able to make a clear decision that's actually going to be a smart business decision. You know, you can't sign your lease and pay for it with your heart. If that was the case, holy shit, we'd have like millions of salons right now. You got to be smart and you have to make good decisions. So we'll leave you guys with that. If you want some help, you want to really create a business plan for your next steps or your expansion or whatever it might be, grab a spot on our calendar. It's a quick 15-minute chat and just get to know you a little bit, figure out what you're wanting to achieve and how we might be able to help you. And we'll pop that in the description below.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you on the next episode.